I want to talk to you today about how to have a golden rule argument. We're learning from the greatest teacher ever, Jesus, from the greatest teaching ever, the Sermon on the Mount, that what is insurmountable in our world, not opposition, problems, other people that we don't like, conflict, it's God and His kingdom, His presence with us. And we're living for a while in this remarkable statement that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. He quite deliberately says here, so in everything. Now, what does that leave out in your life? Nothing. And a big part of life is conflict. Jesus has been talking precisely about how we mishandle conflict. We judge other people. We push unwanted advice in them. We try to pick them apart. So what does it mean? How do you have a golden rule fight? Just two very simple points. Number one, today, pick a fight. Pick an argument with somebody. Probably you won't have to do that. Remember, anger is what happens when my will gets thwarted, and my will gets thwarted all the time, and so does you. Somebody says something, somebody writes an email, they put something in a way, I get irritated when I'm in line, when I'm having to wait someplace. It will come up all the time. So that will be an opportunity to take a look at what's going on in my mind right now. And the way that I want to respond will always be in a desire to lash out. This is the way that the world runs, and it doesn't matter how smart you are. Having a golden rule argument is not a matter of IQ. The most widely read article in the Times Higher Education Supplement in 2019 was called 10 Rules for Succeeding in the Academy Through Upward Toxicity. And it was written by a professor of medieval English at the University of Bonn. It was the most read article in that year. And here are a few of the 10 easy rules. Cultivate powerful friends, gain power over as many publication organs and scholarly bodies as possible, and use them to promote your clique. Number two, do nothing for anyone unimportant. Number three, find a less successful scholar who will fear and admire you, flatter them into becoming your sidekick. Number four, crush the confidence of students with the potential to surpass you. Number five, manipulate students and employees into feeling they owe you. Number six, promote a zero-sum model of success. Anyone else's gain is your loss. Number seven, systematically badmouth your colleagues so you can improve your own standing. Number eight, gaslight and spread misinformation about anybody who stands up to you, and so on. That's how to succeed through upward toxicity. And of course, that doesn't just happen in academic institutions. That happens in workplaces of all kinds. It happens in churches. It's the way that we tend to respond. My will gets thwarted, and so I'm going to get back at you. So, how to have a golden rule argument? Number one, find an argument. It'll probably find you. Just look today for what's someplace where your will gets thwarted, where you feel hurt, where you feel frustrated, where you feel afraid, and you want to get angry and resent. And then number two, apply the golden rule. Ask now, if I was the other person with whom I'm irritated, with whom I am angry, I put myself in their place. I try to think about their personality and their temperament and what it is that they want, what it is that they're hoping for, and ask, if I were they, how would I want me to have this conversation, to have this argument with them? So this is not about avoiding arguments. This is about how to have a golden rule argument. I'll tell you part of what prompted this thought in me and thinking about the academic world. Quite recently, a hero in the field of economics, Nobel Prize winner, and social psychology named Daniel Kahneman just died. He wrote, among other things, quite famously, a book called Thinking Fast and Slow about 10 years ago. And one of the things that he became known for was his response to the world of what he called angry science. You would get frustrated because of the lack of golden rule arguments that would go on in science with real, real smart people. He said, typically what happens is it's a nasty world of critique, reply, rejoinder, where you use sarcasm and condescension to try to make your opponent look small, no matter how bright you are. He said, often it involves this. You give summary of a caricature of the other person's position, and then you refute their weakest argument, and then you declare their entire position to have been demolished by you. Now that's angry science. And then we think in our world about angry politics, about angry democracy. You know, the original idea of the Constitution was actually that there would be a clashing of opinions so that through that there could be checks and balances and we could arrive at the best place. But that requires having golden rule arguments and not living in a world where I deliberately caricature the position of the person with whom I disagree politically and want to believe bad things about them. Or we can do angry church. People can think they are standing up for Jesus when they actually deliberately caricature other religions and then demolish their weakest arguments and claim that they have been refuted. Or angry family. How often do I do that there? So Daniel Kahneman said, as opposed to doing that, he actually pioneered. He did it first with his wife, who actually was also a research psychologist. He pioneered what he would call adversarial collaboration, where instead of getting into a sarcastic, angry competition with the other person, if another person critiqued his research and his theories, he would actually invite them to do research together with him. And for them both to lay out, here's what I believe, here's what I believe, let's do research together and then look together at the results and see what we think about that. And he said, not only did it tend to produce better research, but it actually often made us end up becoming friends with each other. Adversarial collaboration. That's a kind of golden rule argument. So here's what this looks like for me. I found myself angry and upset with a person quite recently, and I was telling my friend Dr. Rick about that in the morning and telling him about what the other person, how they responded to me and what he wanted as opposed to what I wanted. And I was waiting for Rick to say, oh man, John, you are the victim of such bad behavior here. I'm all in your corner. But what Rick instead said was, I see his point. It's like, well, tell me more about that. And then Rick just talked a little bit about what this other person might be thinking and feeling that had never occurred to me. And what I recognized, the great enemy of a golden rule argument dealing with conflict, dealing with relationships in me, is my own tendency to ruminate. So I sat for a little bit and thought about, how do I recognize rumination inside me? And what does it do destructively that makes me say, that's not my best self, that's not God at work? How do I recognize that? And I'll pass this on to you for what it's worth. Anger rumination inside me always has the impact of blocking me from a surrendered condition with God. I have to put God out of my mind in order to fully indulge my rumination of hostility at this other person. Angry science, angry church, angry work, angry whatever. Secondly, rumination of anger for me always distorts my thinking so that the other person is in the exaggerated bad category. And without being conscious of it, I just find myself not thinking about good qualities that I may appreciate about this other person when I am in a state of rumination. It also causes self-pity when I ruminate, I am a victim. And I enjoy that a lot. That part of it's really fun. That's hard to give up. It also justifies behavior on my part that is not my most healthy. Avoidance, sarcasm, a lack of even-handedness, defensiveness. This was interesting too, as I thought about it. Angry rumination does not relax my body. And you might, if you take a moment right now, just take a deep breath, relax your body. It has a way of being incompatible with that spirit of angry, toxic thoughts inside my mind. And then finally, and maybe most importantly, it strongly motivates me to obsess over exaggerating the other person's flaws and simply miss looking at mine. So when I just stop and say, God, what's going on in my mind? What's going on in my spirit? But when I ask that question, then I'm actually able to engage in having a golden rule conversation, golden rule conflict, where I'm being deeply honest. Here's what I think. Here's what I want. But I'm also being open. I can acknowledge, yeah, I messed up here. I said this wrong. I actually intended to hurt you with this statement. So my motives were not totally pure. And that's the person that I want to be. So today, as you walk through this day, just look for moments when you find your will thwarted, when you find yourself getting angry, and then pause. This is where we must seek the kingdom first and then the righteousness. I cannot do the golden rule if I'm just trying to do it on my own. But if I say, God, help me, I can't, you can, be at work in me. And then today, golden rule argument today. Golden rule argument today. Make it a golden rule day.
You've been listening to Become New with John Ortberg, where you can receive 10 minutes of daily teaching about the person you're becoming. If you like what you're hearing, you can head on over to our website, becomenew.com, where John has over 700 10-minute teachings on the person you're becoming, cataloged in 20 different series covering a range of topics you might be interested in. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each episode that include extra resources and discussion questions, you can let us know at becomenew.com/subscribe. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, there's a team of us who meet each weekday to pray for listeners just like yourself. You can send your specific request to us at the number 855-888-0444. I'm glad you're here, and we'll catch you next time.